Amen. God bless you for your generous participation in the offering this morning. Turn to three people around you and groet hulle ernstig. Amen. I trust everybody had a Jesus-filled Christmas. Amen. That you put Christ back into the Xmas. Amen. Jesus is not my ex. Amen. He's my current. Amen. I love that song, I love you, I'll follow you, you are my life. I will read my Bible and pray. Hallelujah. I get so excited with these songs. Leon, let's just, you know, glory to God, but let's just give honor where honor is due. I don't know if any of you have tried to stand up and with backing track sing to a crowd of people. Bevan julle dit al probeer. So Leon, we want to thank you, sir. Bless you. Appreciate that. Die staan hierbo is nogal moeilik. When I was involved in the praise and worship, that's how I did it. And that's why they sent me away to here. So posted me as far away as they possibly could. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, guess what most churches start the new year off with? Huh? A new theme. Okay, what else? What are they doing like the first week or two? They do what? They do what? What? Somebody said a new pastor. Okay, now see what you're praying for. Pastor Gerard, Magda, great to have you here. Bless you guys. Thanks for visiting with us. Well, they enter into a season and a period of prayer and fasting. So people are thinking, oh no, Nathan, tell me I mustn't eat now. Just relax, we're going to enter into a season of prayer and fasting. So this week, ek wil net graag aan julle bekendstel, net 5 puntjies, puntjies. Small little points that we're going to talk about, topics to pray and fast for the new year. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me in the scriptures. There should be a presentation coming up, but I did the best I could. I'm not good with these things because I don't do it often enough, and Renee modified it as best as he can. So, can you believe it, eh? So, some of it's a little bit out, but there you go. It's supposed to look like a parchment, a piece of paper, but I don't know, this modern technology. Okay, 100%. Okay, Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to read from verse 40. Okay. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and he came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast him out? So Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, everyone say, however. Not everybody said however. Let's try that again. However. There we go. That's a much better poorchen. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And Father, we thank you that we have the privilege for which people have paid their lives, Lord, to be able to freely read your word today. And we have many translations, many formats, and many ways in which to read it, either out of a Bible or some electronic version. And we bless and thank you for that. We just ask, Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus, that you take the Logos, the written word, and you speak it into our hearts. Make it rhema. Bring it to life in each one of our hearts for where we are at this morning, in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, Amen. In preparing for the topics, you know, we could have had a list that was a lot lengthier, and I just felt the Lord Just lead me in the direction to keep it short and sweet and to the point. And this basically covers what I feel God has laid on my heart for us to pray and fast about for this year. And you'll notice that only one of them, one of the 5 points involves something that is, can I say, outside of us. All the first 4 points involve one common thing, and that is the issues of our own hearts. Remember last week we said, got everybody to stand up. We said, wie van julle wil graag 'n verandering sien in Suid-Afrika? Kan jy onthou? En wat het ons toe gedoen? What did we do? We drew a circle around ourselves, remember? And we said, if you want change in South Africa, when change comes from inside that circle, then change will happen on the outside. So these first 4 points deal with us. And I think one of the biggest challenges in the world today is the thing of unbelief. Now, reading that portion of scripture, I'm going to just share a theological idea with you this morning. Is that okay? Reading that portion of scripture, it's easy to understand why lots of people teach that there are certain kinds of demons that have power to be able to withstand a person using the name of Jesus. There are certain kind of demons that are stronger because Jesus says, this kind does not come out by prayer and fasting. But what is Jesus addressing? He says, because of your unbelief. And I submit to you, do you think that there's a demon in hell that is not subject to the name of Jesus? I don't think that. I'm just submitting this to you, and you can fit it into your theological picture. Why do I say that? Because in Luke chapter 9 and verse 1, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over a few of the weaker demons and to cure some of the minor diseases. Which demons? Which demons? All demons. So I don't believe that Jesus was saying, yeah, this kind of demon is a stronger demon. This in the hierarchy of demons is a more powerful demon. You have to pray and fast to get him out. I believe the issue that Jesus was dealing with, he says, oh, how long must I deal with your what? Your unbelief. There are certain kinds of unbelief deeply seated and rooted in the hearts of people that can only come out through prayer and fasting. So I submit to you this morning that I don't believe it's a kind of demon that requires us to pray and fast. Because all demons are subject to the name of Jesus. I believe there are specific kinds of unbelief in people's hearts that can only be dealt with through prayer and fasting. Is that okay with you this morning? You just meditate that, on that a little bit. All authority in heaven and earth has been given us, and Jesus has sent us out with that authority. I believe what Jesus was speaking about here was the issue of unbelief. There are various kinds of unbelief brought about by various things. Okay? So I'd like us to pray against unbelief in people's hearts. Unbelief is a cause of so many other things, and you're going to see that this is it builds upon each other. The first thing I want us to pray for in this week, I suggest you can either start tonight, start this afternoon, or skip lunch or whatever the case may be. But for a 7-day period or for a 5-day period, choose a topic a day for the week that lays ahead to pray specifically for these things. And in closing, we're just going to share a little bit with you about some principles about prayer and fasting, just very, very briefly. You know, often people have spoken about this thing called the unpardonable sin and blaspheming the Holy Spirit. If you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit, the scripture says that that sin cannot be forgiven. All other sins can be forgiven except blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And people wonder, they say, Mars, how do I know if I've blasphemed the Holy Spirit? Well, I simply ask them, okay, well, when you sin, do you feel the conviction of the Lord in your heart and in your spirit? They say, yes. Well, I say, guess what? The Holy Spirit is still with you. You're still under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You cannot have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. I'm going to put this as simply as I possibly can. If you see what happens there, Jesus does works and wonders and signs and wonders and miracles. And they ascribe the works of God to the devil. The simplest way I can put it is that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is when you ascribe the works of the Spirit or the works of the Lord to the devil. That's what happened there. But why did they do that? Because of this first point, unbelief. They didn't believe Jesus' claims. They didn't believe his works. They didn't believe that. So because of unbelief, they ascribed the works of the Lord and the works of the Spirit to the devil, saying, "This he must drive out demons by a demon." And Jesus goes and says, "How can a house divided against itself stand?" So the issue is the unpardonable sin, and if you think about it, why when it comes to the Holy Spirit would Jesus teach that? Because the Holy Spirit is God's, like, his last agent, if I can use that word, for want of a better word, his last means of reaching out to a hard heart to say, submit yourself and your ways to the things of God. Let the Holy Spirit make your spirit born again by implanting the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And when you reject God's reaching out to you by His Spirit, what other hope do we have, people? What other chance do we have? Jesus is not going to come again. Hello? The Holy Spirit has been given to us. Jesus has come. He's brought His message. He's paid the price. He's finished the Father's work. He said, it is finished. And then He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Helper, the promise of the Father, the Spirit. And when we reject the Holy Spirit, that's why it's the unpardonable sin, because of unbelief. You don't believe Jesus, His message, His claims, because of unbelief. That leaves you at a place where your sins are not forgiven. And therefore you're in a place of not being pardoned. It's not complicated. It's actually very, very simple. So what I believe we need to pray against is, say, Lord, change unbelief in people's hearts. By your Spirit, Lord, unbelief. Maybe 2018 has come and gone and there's things that have not been come to pass in your life and come to fruition and have not realized them. Maybe it was because of unbelief. Maybe right now you're sitting here this morning and things you believe, you're thinking in your heart, no, that God can't do that. That won't work out for me. It's not going to happen for me because of unbelief. So let's pray and trust God to deal with this thing of unbelief in people's hearts. Is that okay? Number two, it's because of unbelief that we have this next phenomenon. The next phenomenon on the next slide should come up now. How's that? Fear, anxiety, and depression. You know, modern medicine have come up with all sorts of terms and phrases, stuff like multiple personality disorder and bipolar this and but it's simply a heart of unbelief that refuses to yield itself to the Lordship of Jesus. Now, whereas there's some merits in the symptoms that they get diagnosed and doctors' prognosis of certain things, that thing about one minute you choose this, the next minute you choose that, yes, you can be under demonic harassment and oppression. We've discussed that many times at length before. But it's simply a heart of unbelief that refuses to yield itself to the Lordship of Jesus, in a nutshell, and causes these things in a person's life: fear, anxiety, and depression. Many, many business people are fearful of the future, the economy. Many, many families are fearful as to what's going to happen to my kids when I send them out into the world, when the kids go to school for the first time. Many of them are fearful. What are they teaching my children at school? Many are fearful about a relationship that you might find yourself in. What's going to happen? Are we going to make it through this year? Fear, anxiety, and depression. And God says this in Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Okay, but you read that and you think, okay, well, maybe that's not really true. Maybe, you know, I've read it, but I don't see the evidence of that in my life. What issue is evident in your life? The first point, unbelief. Unbelief. Address the issue of the unbelief in your life. Let God speak into your life concerning that thing, and then you won't have this fear. For when you read that, I am not with you, believe that God is with me. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I love how it gets so personal here. It's not like I'm the God or I'm God. I'm whose God? I'm whose God? I'm your God. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. And God knows that we're going to need help. Can you say amen? I will help you. Yeah, but the unbelief, Mozzie, address that. Let the Lord address that first issue. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Proverbs 12 and verse 25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Now, there can be several causes of depression. It can be demonic harassment or oppression, a spirit of heaviness. It can be a chemical imbalance in your body. It can be eating incorrectly. It can be because of a lack of sleep. It can be eating too much, too little. It can be exposing yourself to things that you shouldn't be exposing yourself to. But the scripture says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. There it is. So let the Spirit of God say, what are you anxious about? And the scripture goes and says, be anxious for nothing. But in all forms of prayer and requests, with supplication and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And then it goes on to say that this peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. You see this in Philippians, I think it's the 4th chapter, thereabouts. So, see, well, what am I anxious about? Why am I anxious? It's because I don't believe something that God has said to be true. So let him address the issue of unbelief. You won't be anxious about it. When the anxiety is alleviated, the depression is lifted. And if it's a chemical imbalance or something, go for a blood test. Go for a checkup from the neck up. I'm being serious. Have a doctor check you out and see. Have a look at your diet. And don't change, start a diet. Just change your lifestyle, where you eat in such a way that you look after your temple and you look after your body. How many of you remember when we were in our 20s? We thought we were bulletproof, man. Come on. We thought we were bulletproof. Today, you see. That little bruise, that little sprain, it takes long to go away. Ek staan hier vandag with broken ligaments and stuff like that. Why? Because my mind makes promises that my body can't keep anymore. Look after your body. Look after yourself. Die driepoot, nee. Die driepoot, daar's drie pote. Daai ding, body, soul and spirit, al daai goed, moet voor gesorg word. Or else there's going to be an imbalance and it's going to topple over. Kukunks. You can't just footer foot and think, well, look after your mind and your spirit and your body. And you maak wat ek smaak is. And you eat and drink and gaan and do. You can't do that, people. This is the vessel that God has chosen in which to house your spirit. Hallelujah. Look after it, man. Can you say amen? Come on, man. Let's work with God on this thing. Okay. So don't be anxious. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But a good word. Everybody say a good word. Makes it glad. Now, what is a good word? What is a good word? Well, get a good word from the Word of God to be a good word for you. The situation that you're battling, the challenge that you have, get a Bible program, some computer Bible program that's got a concordance that can find a topic and say, okay, I am anxious, and go anxiety, and it'll give you all different scriptures that can address that thing. Depression, fear, loneliness, uncertainty, all these topics. Put it into the search system of your computer program or whatever, or your concordance, and you'll see the lists of good words that'll spew out for you to take for yourself to address that. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. People say, I'm standing on the word. Now, this is not blasphemy what I'm going to do now. And they think, okay, ek staan nou op die woord. Whoops, daar buig ek my woord daar. I'm standing on the word, okay? But what word are those thousands of promises have you meditated on and let it settle in your heart and believe it? Yes, Lord, I believe that it is mine. It's for me. And believe it. And people, when you start doing that, maar hoe, praktisch gewys, hoe doen jy dit? Maar sê, ek lees en daar gebeur nie juist, daar is nie eintlik 'n verandering in my lewe dan nie, okay? So practically what you got to do is this. We know that spiritual forces feed off sound. Wat se goed? Spiritual forces feed off sound. The entire universe is subject to sound waves. It was created by sound waves. The blueprint of all creation is in sound waves. So that's why the scripture says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by. Faith comes by. Nicolien, want to know, what is a oorkie? Jy het een aan die regterkant, een aan die linkerkant. Dis daai oortjies. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's why when you read something, say you're dealing with fear, 2 Timothy 1:7. So the spirit of fear comes up and you start thinking, I'm afraid, well, what if, what if, what if? Don't just leave those thoughts there. Speak 2 Timothy 1:7 out. Speak and say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do that again and again and again. Say it, repeat it over and over. What happens? It goes into your oorkies. Your mind will start meditating on it and will start to change things in your spirit. Why? Because you're declaring it and speaking it out into the spiritual realm. And that spirit of fear hears it as well. Hallelujah. It hears it as well and has to become subject to the word of God. So speak the word of God into the situation. Declare it, vocalize it, make it audible so that you can hear it and meditate on it. And then faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Can you say amen? Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And verse 130 of Psalm 119. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Are you with me so far, church? Are you learning something this morning? I trust in a five of you are learning something. Lord, grab the rest of everyone. Hallelujah. I know it's hot. Just hang in there. Bear with me, okay? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Sien, ons is so gewoond aan die aircons, nee. En sit ons hier so die aircons en sê, oh, ek wens net ek wil klaar preek. Ek wil ook klaar preek, glo my. Okay. So, we pray against fear, anxiety, and depression. Get a word of God into your heart and let it change things for you. Number three, a hunger and thirst for the things of God. A hunger and thirst for the things of God. I think, you know, the way things are in the world, and this like challenges me so much. Because if you know me longer than a week, 2 weeks, or a little bit more, I can get very, very easily distracted by stuff. Easily distracted by things. It's this interest and it's that interest and trying this and trying that or whatever. It's like you're drinking cold drink and I'm busy like drinking a cold drink and I haven't even finished drinking and my eyes are already looking at like what other cold drinks and what other flavors are there. Now I'm not like it because I don't drink gassy cold drinks, but I'm just giving you an example. It's like I can become so easily distracted by stuff. Some people can stay focused on things with flint-faced resolution. That's fantastic. But let's face it, folks, there's so many things in the world that can distract us, isn't it? We use the example of watching the news. You're busy watching the news, and at the bottom of the screen, they're having all the ander nuusberigte kom op daaronder. All the stuff just bombarded all the time with different things. Let's pray that we get a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. Matthew 5 and 6, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be full. And let's pray that we allow the Holy Spirit to do this in our lives. We can't make ourselves hungry for the things of God. We need the Spirit, allow the Spirit of God to come and to touch us. I didn't give all of these scripture verses to the guys, but it's Philippians 2 and verse 13, I believe it. It says, it is God who works in us both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. It is God who works in us. You know what? It's going to bug me. Just want to make sure that I just give you the correct scripture references for that. Yes. It is God who works in you, both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. So honestly and in humility, go before God and say, God, give me a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. Give me a hunger and a thirst to stay focused on you, Lord, and not be distracted by all of these things. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Psalm 42 and verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul, and so pants my soul for you. O God, my soul pants for you, O God, as the deer pants for the water. So may God stir up that hunger in our hearts. Maybe we be aware of distractions. What kind of distractions? The cares of this world, being worried about the stuff. I got you this morning, and I know she didn't mean it. She meant it in love, but I hadn't even taken off my riding gear. And my wife brings me the good news. My angel, there's no power. There's an area thing. I so wish she came to me and she said, you know, I missed you since I last saw you at home. You're the love of my life. Oh, yes, my glorious husband. No, comes and tells me there's no power. You know, and immediately there, my mind was like, oh, and I'm thinking, Lord, just deal with these people once and for all. Not the people, but, kom daar nie, is daar nie krag nie, man. Just deal. So, and then I said, mozzie. Nie lang van nou af, want jy is voor die mense staan en preek, jy is oor sulke goed. I'm being real. The cares of this world. Dat kan my pla met sulke nonsens. Hier sit ons en die woord van die Here word nog steeds verkondig. Halleluja. Was daar krag of was daar nie krag nie? So what, man? Halleluja. God will provide, and she still loves me. I know she was thinking things like that in the background, but it's okay. Halleluja. So, you know, not let these things get to me. The cares of this world, Mark 4 and 19. Mense, daar is baie sorge daar buite. There's lots to be komkommerd about, man, but we don't need to. And then, unwanted weight, Hebrews 12 and verse 1. It says there, Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the sin and the weight which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. So, it's not sinful issues, but the weight. It's something that unnecessarily slows you down. Let the weights not distract us. And sometimes it might be the waiting that you have to do when you're in a queue at some government department. I want to encourage you, if you have to get some license renewed or apply for something or sort out something at your local municipality, before you go, moet asseblief net nie vir jouself sê, o, my magtig, die queues, ek weet, daar gaan 15 tellers wees, nou gaan net een teller beman word. Don't think of all those things before you even go and you get in your car, your scooter, think, thank you Lord, it's going to be fast, efficient, friendly service in the name of Jesus. Favor is going to happen to me, Lord. Hallelujah. Start believing and guess what? You'll be pleasantly surprised. You will be pleasantly surprised. Come on, man. Come on. So don't, let's not let these things get to us. Can you say amen? Sure. This one is important. Point number four, what we're going to pray for is the following. It's going to be coming up soon. You see? Faith, by faith I believe that it is going to be coming up. Okay. Let's pray for wisdom, understanding, and discernment. People, this is so important. Have you ever... Okay, I'm not asking you to put up your hands. But how many of you have criticized the president before? Don't put up your hands. Okay, you want to put up your hands? Fine. Yes, okay. Now imagine right now, you had responsibility to make the decisions that governed this entire country. 48, 49 million people. 50, 60, 60 million. Yes. A lot's been happening over the festive season. No, imagine you have to make the decision that governs 60 million people. You think, oh, makkelijk genoeg, really? Wake up in the morning and think, right, I have to make a decision that affects education, health, welfare, social stuff, infrastructure, foreign policy, all of those things. You make a decision. You think you can, you think you cut out to do that? Really? Mensa, you're going to need the wisdom of God to do that. We need wisdom. You think, oh yeah, just anybody can run a country. And you know what? I've stopped praying for a Christian leader. You think, well, what does it help if you've got a Christian leader and he doesn't have a cooking clue how to run the country? He might love Jesus with every fiber of his soul and his being, but if he doesn't know how to run the country, we've got to pray for somebody who has wisdom, discernment, and understanding to run a country. That's what we need. Not everybody believes that. Lord, get them. That's what we need. We need somebody who knows how to run a country. That's what we need. God will take care of the rest. You think he's unable to take care of people just because the people are led by Muhu? He's God, man. So pray that we get somebody that knows how to run a country in the name of Jesus. So we need wisdom, understanding, and discernment. This is how important it is. Proverbs 2, verse 3 and 5. It says, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's the New King James way of saying, folks, there is nothing more important than this. Wow. Really? There is nothing more important. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom and understanding and knowledge. You see, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit and not a vegetable. Wisdom is knowing that you don't put a tomato in a fruit salad. That's wisdom. What does it help if you have the knowledge, okay? Marty, who pas jy daai kennis toe? The application of that knowledge. Applying it, that's wisdom and discernment. Okay? And in all your getting, get understanding, knowing what is God's plan for your life. Hallelujah. And we're not done on this one, but it brings us to the next one. Knowing what is God's plan for your life, your role in His body and this country. That's what it is. Knowing what is God's plan for your life. What is His plan for your life specifically? Well, I think some people, just in case you don't know, it's Romans 8:29. I'm not going to tell it to you. Make the effort of going to read that. That's God's plan for your life. It's not complicated. One verse sums it all up. Romans 8:29. Just go and read that. That is His plan for your life. Once you've got that settled, say, right, Lord, what then is the role that you want me to play in your body? Why? Ladies and gentlemen, because the Church of Jesus Christ is the last remaining agent of change on this planet. The Church of Jesus Christ is the last remaining agent of change in this planet. God's not going to send another Messiah. He's not going to send another messenger, another prophet, a new teaching of the month, some new doctrine. It's the church. The Church of Jesus Christ. Us, men, women, and children of God who stand up and say, Lord, let your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come, Lord, in my life as it is in heaven. And then saying, Lord, what is the role? What is the role? What is the role of Bikers Church amongst the motorcyclists, their friends and families for this year ahead? What is the role of this local body here? Yeah, we get together in this place called Duncanville, in this semi-industrial area. What is God's plan for this church? Yeah, this, oh look, on to the VC and all that, I just wonder, like, what is God's plan for this church? I mean, remember, if the Spirit of God lives inside you, the places you go, the people that you cross paths with, who's the church? We're the church. This is the place where we get together and celebrate as the church. But what is His plan for your life, your role in the body, and then the role that we have to play in this country? This five judgments spoken of in the scripture. One of them is the judgment of nations. When South Africa gets judged as a nation, how are we going to stand before God as His church? Hoe gaan ons dan lyk? You know, would we have fought the good fight, run the race? Would we have done that? What is the role that God wants us to play in this country? Get wisdom and understanding. And then 1 Chronicles 12:32 speaks about different people that played different roles in David's army, and speaks about the sons of Issachar. Of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Said, Lord, give me wisdom and understanding and discernment of the times. What is the season that you are busy with? Imagine you. Jy staan op een oggend en jy kyk nie juist deur die ruitte van jou huis nie, en jy sien nie wat daar buite aangaan nie, en jy lees nie die berigte oor die weer nie, en jy trek aan soos wat jy wil. En jy trek aan in 'n plakkies en 'n kort broek en 'n sterk lyk hempie waar jou spiere so uitpop. En stap jy daar buite en dit's minus 10 degrees Celsius. Because you don't understand the times or the seasons that you are in. And so often it can happen like that spiritually. We're wanting to foot our foot in a certain direction because we heard a teaching from this guy or a teaching from that guy, and we think, right, this is the direction that the Lord wants us to go in. And say, okay, God, but what are you saying to us as a body? Where do you want us to go with this thing, Lord? The sons of Issachar had understanding and discernment of the times to know what Israel ought to do. So to recap those 4 points before we get to the last one, it's all to do with the issues of our heart. Unbelief, fear, anxiety, depression, hunger and thirst for the things of God. And when we get to the end, I'm going to ask Renee to put the slides up from the beginning, number one, and I encourage you all just to take a photograph on your phone, please, so that you have these topics to fast about. We'll go slide after slide after slide. It'll just be 5 photo keys with your Fwinkie, and you have them for the week that lays ahead. Fear, anxiety, and depression. Number three, hunger and thirst for the things of God. Number four, wisdom, understanding, and discernment. And then number five, last but by no means least, pray for laborers for the harvest. In Luke 10 and verse 2, the Lord said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." What struck me in reading this verse is that God is the God of the harvest. It's his harvest. In other words, God knows exactly what's going on in the lives of the people we so desperately want to reach. It's his harvest. It is his harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest. God knows it is his harvest. He knows what's going on in the lives of his people. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. God knows his harvest. And then we must ask God for like-minded, and I've chose these words, like-minded, where is it? There we go. Like-minded producers, not consumers. Producers, not consumers. And yes, I know that everybody consumes something all the time. But the most effective, beneficial people in life are those that produce, make a positive contribution to society. Let this be what is on our lips. Not what can I get, but what can I give? What can I give to my local church? What can I give to make it better for somebody on Sunday? Instead of what can I get, what can I get, what can I get? You'll take a consumer, a consumer, a consumer, but start being a producer. You know, oftentimes I've heard people pray this when they pray over the offering. They say, you know, seen elke persoon wat gegee het, seën ook die wat nie het om te gee nie. Do you know that's unscriptural? It's unscriptural. I'll prove it to you from the Bible where it says, let nobody come before the Lord empty-handed. Let nobody come before the Lord empty-handed. Because everybody has something to give. Everybody has something to give. Instead of just, what can I get, what can I get, what can I say, what can I receive, what can I do to make it better for somebody else at church today? Be producers and not consumers. People who are like-minded. So we're looking for folks who are like-minded. Philippians 2 and verse 2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Folks, because when we are in that place, in that kind of unity, it doesn't mean that nobody has a difference of opinion, but we're like-minded because we understand. This is what God has called us to do. Bringing the unchurched into his family, that his kingdom may be advanced. We start off there. That's where the place where we're in unity like that. God does what he commands, the blessing. Psalm 133, I believe it is. Behold our good and our pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. So let us be like-minded for this. Can you say amen? These, in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen, are the topics that I believe God has laid in our heart for this season as we go into this year to pray about. Five simple points. Four of them deal with the issues of our heart, and then the fifth one deals with God sending us people who are producers and not only consumers. People that are like-minded. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Just quickly, we want to share a couple of things with you, just briefly. I'm not going to teach on this about fasting. Simply what it means is, start off by a strict biblical fast is just having water. But if you've never done it before, what you simply do is skip a meal and wait until you get hungry, until those leviathans and those pythons inside there start shouting, feed me, feed me, feed me. In that time when you think, okay, no matter what yet, take a moment to pray over one of these topics. Start small, baby steps. And then once you've prayed and you're still hungry, then have something to eat. And if you've done it before, start off by skipping an entire meal. If you've done it before, start off by skipping an entire day. And if you've really done it before, go several days. After day 3, approximately, you're not hungry anymore. That's when it gets exciting. And then that time that you would spend eating, spend that time praying. And that meal that you would have bought for yourself, buy it for somebody else. That's the kind of fasting that pleases God. And then don't go announce to people, I'm fasting. Now guess what? When you start a fast, what's going to happen? People are going to invite you to braais. Check it out. People are going to invite you to braais. They're going to tell you, I've just tried this new recipe. Please come and try it out. They're going to invite you to come and eat. And moenie vir hulle sê, nee, ek is besig om te vas. Say, jammer, I've got a previous engagement. I cannot make it. Just keep it between yourself and the Lord. Can you say amen? And hang in there. If you think, oh God, I haven't eaten, I'm going to die. People say, oh, I nearly died of starvation after 3 days. You can go safely and very, very healthily without food for 40 days. Can't go without water for 3, maybe 4 you need. But without food, we can take, even me, I mean, I'm so thin, I've got to jump around in the shower to get wet. I stand and I talk to you like this because it's like dwarf dry, can you many see me? But even me, I've got plenty reserves here. Plenty. Plenty. When I sit like this on the edge of the bed and say, yes, it's disgusting. Get rid of this. I've got plenty reserves. Wat nog van die ander? You got plenty reserve stored energy and you think, oh, I'm going to pass out. Just you won't pass out. Just drink something. And maybe it's a little bit too much. Maybe you've got a physically intense job. Then don't eat something. Have an energy, a healthy drink. Not an energy drink. What? Have some other healthy alternative that you can just get a little bit of an energy boost if you must, if you've never done this before. And you can see what it's going to do. What does it do? It doesn't twist God's arm. But we've got 4 appetites. And the strongest appetite is the appetite for food. And when that appetite for food is brought into the submission and lordship of Jesus, all our other appetites come into line with God. We have an appetite for food, an appetite for material possessions, an appetite for spiritual things, and a sexual appetite. The strongest of those is an appetite for food. When we can submit that to the lordship of Jesus, those other appetites start coming into balance. Submit that to the Lord. Are you okay with that this morning, church? Are we going to declare and proclaim a fast as a body of believers to trust God to bring about the goodness of this and the fruit of this in our lives and in this church this year? Are you okay with that? Hallelujah. Stand with us as we close and make a couple of declarations of faith together and pray together. Hallelujah. You can choose when you want to fast. When you want to start your fast, you can start it today or tomorrow, whatever. Just make sure you get it in this week. I just want to ask if Renier can get slide 1 up, please. And then just give an opportunity just to take a photograph before we pray. Slide number 1, just take a picture. If everybody that wants a picture, once you've got the picture, just say, okay, next one. Okay, can we go to the next? Not yet, okay. Okay. Have we got that picture? Mensen, take a picture, not a video clip. Need a print. It will be on our website as well. Thank you, Renee. www.bikerschurchvol.co.za. Okay, have you got that? Slide number 2. Have you got it? Just kidding. Slide number 2. Echelom. Okay, we all got it? Slide number 3. Is ons reg? Slide number 4. Okay, finished? Slide number 5. So you got it on your phone and, of course, on the website. Okay, and if I'm in any of those pictures, please don't use it against me in a court of law. Okay, all right, let's just pray together. Father, we're not playing religious games when we declare a fast like this, Lord, and we're not doing anything to impress anybody or to do so because a pastor's asked. Or Lord, we do this genuinely to seek your face, Lord God. And Lord, either this can be a time where we just go hungry and get ourselves frustrated and mislick and tired, or it can be a time of real breakthrough in our lives. And as a body of believers, we stand together today, Lord God, and we say we've got our items and our topics and our prayer agenda, but Lord, we want your will to be done. Father, if you need to turn this entire thing and this card upside down, then do it, Lord God, just that we get your heart, what is on your heart for this season, Lord. And we lift up these topics to you. We submit it to your Lordship and say, Lord, let your will be done and let your kingdom come here on earth and in our lives as it is in heaven, in this church and in this nation, Father. I submit these topics to you, Lord God, and I pray that by your Spirit you bring to pass the things that you would want, the changes in our hearts, Lord, the change within those circles that we've drawn around ourselves, Lord, in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, so that we can grow, Lord God, into what you have planned for us in this year ahead. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just submit this thing of unbelief to you, Lord God, fear, anxiety, and depression, a hunger and thirst for you, Lord, wisdom, understanding, and discernment, and like-minded laborers for the harvest, Lord. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you for making the time to listen on this hot summer's morning. Please just remember, we need a couple of volunteers to help us with stuff across the road just to get it into the building next door. And there was one other thing. Can't actually remember. So may God bless you. God keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you peace. We're going to close off with one more song. But God bless you. Have a great week further, and looking forward to seeing you same time, same place next week. Thank you. God bless you guys.